Greetings and salutations, everyone. Once again, I am AC2GS. My name is Roy, and I am the net control operator for this, the Limark Technical Net. Limark Technical Net has been going strong for over 44 years now. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m., we sit ourselves in front of our radios, and we talk to each other, and we teach each other, and we learn from each other, and we entertain each other. And I thank you once again for joining me this Sunday night at 8 p.m. when we try and do it all over again. As per usual, let me drop for a second, and I will return with the usual links. Okay. If you would wish to reach me via email, my email address is mailbag@ac2gs. That would be for mailbag questions, for TechNet puzzles, for to tell me that you have expertise in a technology that's in the news and you'd like to share it with us, or if you'd like me to tap on the shoulder and have them take a look at some NASA or space-related story. Of course, you can directly contact him. His email address is spacenetreport@gmail.com. I offer a number of links that I cut and paste throughout the week of interesting articles. Every week is a new list, and I keep the list up. To get it, just type into your browser, roy.ac2gs.com, and that'll give you a list of those links. If you get a touch of insomnia and you want to see something that at least I found interesting, pull it up and read it. I think you'll find it interesting. Also, as per usual, we have a chat room available. It's been kind of quiet lately, but if you would like to access it, you just type into your browser, chat.ac2gs.com. We offer an audio stream on the Internet of the Technical Net. We keep it live the rest of the week for the most part so that you can listen into Glen Oaks when you don't have a radio nearby. You get to it by typing into your browser, technet.ac2gs.com. And, of course, I always like to remind people that MikeKC2NJI has a great archive site. It's called amateurradio.tv. It has archives of the Limark Technical Net that go as far back as September of 2006. Some of the people recorded there. It was far, far away. Others have shuffled off this mortal coil and become silent keys, unfortunately, but their wisdom continues to exist in the form of audio files, so if you're having a slow day and you want to listen to some wisdom from previous people who participated here, go to Mike's page, amateurradio.tv, and listen to some of the greats. Now, let me drop for a second, and I'll tell you what we got planned. Okay, it's a vanilla night here, nothing particularly special. The only weird thing about AI lately is not really technological. I don't know if anyone heard about it, but an AI company bought a social media, or plans to buy a social media, for a somewhat overpriced price. Apparently, X, which used to be Twitter, is going to be sold for, I think, something like $40 billion. I think it's only worth maybe $16 billion on a good day. But the weird thing is it's being sold to an AI company. And the even weirder thing is it's being bought by an AI company that is also owned by the same person who owns X. So Elon is basically going to sell X to himself, in the form of XAI, which is his dubiously valued artificial intelligence business. So he's basically taking $5 out of his right-hand pocket and putting it in his left-hand pocket. So that's about it for AI for this week. Go figure. You know, good thing I didn't go to the school. Anyway, we're going to do the usual, which is ask for questions, comments, and topics tonight. Hopefully, if John, WA2VDH, is around, we weren't able to get to his comments last week, so if he's there, we'll take him at the top of the net. So we'll ask everyone else to check in, give me your first name, give me your call sign, what kind of subject, is it amateur radio related, is it non-amateur radio related, and we'll make a list and we'll go down the list.
You should be honoring Elon Musk for rescuing those people. Come on, man. You fucking bitch.
You're breaking FCC regulations. Bugger off. Anyway, that'll take us to 10:15. 10:15, Paul WS2N will join us for the SpaceNet report. That should take us approximately to 11 o'clock. And then I will return to tie a bow on it and wish you all well. So that's the plan, if everything works and I don't get kicked off of All-Star. That in mind, anyone out there want to put their name on the list, hit that push to talk, and ID yourselves.
Ed, K2GJ, my question from last week, over.
Ed, do you see I'm radio related?
November 2, Zulu Charlie, ham related.
Okay, Ed, Wes, and John recognized.
Zulu Echo 2, Foxtrot Lima Bravo, I have a space. Related comment slash question.
Okay, what's your first and give me your call sign again, please.
First name is Ray. That is Romeo Alpha India Charlie Echo. Call sign is Zero Echo 2 Foxtrot Lima Bravo.
Okay, Ray, I got you. Anyone else want to put their name down on the list?
Yeah, W2BZ, Rich, ham radio operator, ham radio question.
Okay, I got you, Rich. Anyone else put their name down on the list?
Echo Alpha, name is Glenn, Golf Lima Echo November, and no questions this week. Thank you.
Okay, very good, Glenn. Anyone else have any questions, comments, or topics for tonight? Please check in.
Alpha Echo 2, Yankee Doc, Sam, just listening. Thank you.
Okay, Sam. Good to hear from you. Anyone else want to check in who has a question or a comment or a topic for tonight? Okay, we'll take Ed's question first. You want to state it, and I'll add a little bit to it.
You could add
Ed, are you
to
out?
It. All I saw was on the internet, FCC, delete, delete, delete. Over.
Okay. So apparently in response to the docket discussion about a call to deregulate, primarily I think based upon executive orders that urged departments to optimize the profitability for businesses, that they shouldn't be overly encumbered by regulations, the ARRL had this published. It says, on March 12, 2025, the Federal Communications Commission, FCC, issued a public notice entitled Regarding Delete, 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 Seeking Input from the Public on FCC Rules that May Be Outdated, Unnecessary, or in Need of Modification. This inquiry is part of the FCC's ongoing effort to alleviate regulatory needs across various services, including the amateur radio service. As part of this review, ARRL is conducting a thorough examination of the provisions of Part 97 and related rules that affect amateur radio operators. ARRL's written comments, which will be prepared by our FCC Council and the ARRL Executive Committee, will include consideration of feedback we received from members. Members who want to share comments and concerns about this matter are urged to share your feedback directly with ARRL. Please submit your comments by March 31st, 2025, and use the following feedback form. And then it just kind of goes into how they want it sent to them. So that's pretty much the ARRL is kind of taking an interesting interpretation of this docket announcement, that it's part of an ongoing typing, and they're going to take comments from you as long as it's before Tuesday, and they're going to write something out. It'll be kind of interesting to see what they come up with. It seems that they're kind of reacting as though, you know, nothing special here, which is an interesting tact, I would think. So any comments, feel free. Gosh, nothing at all. I mean, I understand that we're still in the early ages of this, and none of us really know what to make of it. But I don't know. I kind of felt that, you know, the ARRL took something like 9 days to come up with that. You know, I would assume that, you know, a starting lawyer could have scribbled that up about 15 minutes after they read the initial docket. But, okay, if no one has any comments, so be it.
Is it possible that Trump will can do away with the FCC?
I don't think he's going to away with it. He'll kind of probably just deregulate things. But the FCC is an interesting money making situation. You know, they kind of are part of the process of selling off bandwidth. So the FCC has actually, I think, been part of generating, you know, a lot of money for the government. So it sort of can be considered a money making bureau. So I think it's safe for that reason. I don't think they'll get much of a budget, but enough to kind of keep them around, probably. I haven't heard any kind of comments from anyone suggesting that we could get rid of them or something. I mean, it's also possible it'll be absorbed into another branch of the executive government, but I don't think so. I think this is just pretty much a call to do some significant deregulation. You know, as the docket said, delete, delete, delete. So we'll see.
I think if Elon Musk learns how many astronauts are ham radio operators, he'll leave amateur radio alone.
Comment.
Wes recognized. I don't think he cares. You know, they're amateur radio operators usually because they are astronauts, and so it's not sort of the other way around. And I don't think he has any special particular love for astronauts in general. I think Doug is prepared to cut the NASA budget $500 million. So that's not a very pro-astronaut type of attitude. But who knows? Wesley, you wanted to say something?
I'm not trying to be inappropriate and to Adrian, but if you give Monkey a machine gun to play with, would the monkey care about the ham radio?
No, I don't think monkeys have any opinion one way or the other as far as amateur radio goes. But, yeah, I mean, you know, as much as that odd guy who's yelling obscenities and not identifying himself, I don't want to really turn any of this into particularly politics. I think my opening statement was inherently politics, just kind of weird business finance shenanigans, if anything. Anyway, so I don't know what to tell you guys. I'm just trying to keep you up to date because the only thing that I have seen written down so far has been the presentation, the docket statements from the FCC, and the reply from the ARRL. Otherwise, I see a dearth of responses. But again, you have until a Monday night to write an email to the ARRL to offer your expertise, suggestions, and comments. and they'll sort of be somewhat interesting to see what the ARL responds to the FCC. You know, I mean, we may need a lawyer to interpret it, but we'll see. You know, the continuing adventures. This is not going to come and go in a day or a week or a month. Probably years.
WA2VDH with a quick comment.
Yes, John.
I think the thing to really watch is what's going to happen to a lot of our microwave bands, as that, I think, first priority is going to, or excessive priority is going to be given to the telecom companies, who would love to gobble up, you know, everything above a couple of gigahertz that we are allowed to use. I think that's the thing that's really up for grabs.
Yeah, it certainly is probably the most valuable property that the FCC has rights on. I don't know, though, you know, the latest, greatest cell phone generation is not that old. It takes a big swath of microwave. I don't know if it would benefit the telecom companies right now today to have even more microwaves. They may have had more than enough to deal with until this generation kind of rolls out better. You know, the process of rolling out a new generation for cell towers is again, a decade-long phenomena. So they might, although that's probably where the significant money is, I don't know if the demand is high yet. Given a little bit more time, they might want to kind of roll out the next generation and include some of the amateur radio microwave frequencies. So, yeah, I think that's a possible future.
Roy, you could cut your mic gain down a little bit. You're way louder than everybody else.
WB2HWW with a comment from All-Star.
Yeah, Howie. Go ahead.
I think a lot of people are making hay out of this thing. You know what the FCC, I think, partly is looking for, and I agree with them? What regulations can they do away with as far as amateur radio is to make things more efficient? You know, as amateur radio operators, we have to do RF surveys, okay? The typical ham doesn't run enough power to really create any biological hazards, but you really got to do it. And as of now, the FCC doesn't even check on you. They take the honor system. But if you have a repeater site that's on top of a building, even though you're down 60, 70, 100 dBs, when you get to the apartment, you still got to do an RF survey. I think that's what the FCC is looking at, to say, what regulations can we do away with that will make things more efficient?
Okay, well, that's your interpretation, and you're certainly, have a right to have one. I don't think any of this even mentioned amateur radio. I don't think the executive orders I'm sure the executive branch doesn't have a fantasy of who the heck we guys are. So, and I don't think anyone's looking to tighten up any regulations. They seem to be looking to loosen up regulations, you know. As long as your water kind of looks okay, there's no real reason to test it too many times because you might find something you don't like. So, unfortunately, I think the winds are blowing in the opposite direction, but I hope you're right.
KT2VHD, comment.
Yes, Jim.
I have an interesting example to throw out there that might put some brain power into this. There is an onerous FCC regulation having to do with type acceptance on radio services that are not amateur radio but are parallel or corollary or nearby. FRS, GMRS, MERS, CB, there might be one other. They're all subject to what's called the type accepted rule, where the radio you buy to use on those services has to be type accepted. That seems like a reasonable regulation until you look into what it takes to get type accepted. It basically blocks out any new American manufacturer from startup from getting into the business. That seems like something that might be able to be worked on to improve radio services that interrelate with us a little bit. And many of us have a, you know, shared interest in. I think there's good that could come of this. And, of course, there's bad that could come of it, but I think there's good that could come of it. Just for thought. Back to that.
Okay, well, that's a good idea. I kind of hope that it leads more in things like that. It certainly will be beneficial for businesses. I know that right now, I think someone mentioned that there was a, I think there's a new Yaesu that is coming out soon in Europe that hasn't been approved by the FCC locally. So, you know, their testing has kind of slowed down a little bit lately. So it would be sort of good. The problem has always been and always will be, you know, you have to have a certain degree of regulation. If you don't have anything regulated, you know, if you let people manufacture drugs and kill some people because you don't really require extensive testing, well, you get the drugs out into the public immediately, and then you see the consequences, unfortunately. Or if you err on the other side, if you over-regulate, by the time these drugs are released to the public, anyone who suffered from that ailment have died already. So there's a sweet spot, there's a happy medium, and, you know, I hope wiser people prevail, and we try and get the regulations at that sweet point and not there on one end of the spectrum or the other.
WBHWW, can I make another comment here, please?
Certainly, Howard.
Well, the other gentleman is 100% correct. For example, if you want to design a converter, okay, say you're a manufacturer, you want to design a simple converter that converts, say, 20 meters to 2 meters, whatever. To design something like that, which is just a receiver, the amount of regulation that the testing that you have to do is crazy. You know, yes, do you want to make sure it doesn't radiate? You don't want to design a super regenerative, but at the same time, you want to make it easy. You go back to the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Nobody had to, you didn't have to type except, if you look at your Drake and your Swans and your Collins gear, none of that stuff was really type accepted. It was up to the amateur. If he's got a key up, he had to know that his equipment is okay. But today, if you want to sell an amateur radio into the United States, you have to do so much testing. That's kind of ridiculous. Yes, do you want to have regulations as far as, you know, you want to be down 60, 70 dBs from the carrier as far as your second harmonic? Sure, you got to have those regulations. But why are you making people spend thousands of dollars in lab testing to prove that a radio works? You know, good design is not hard to make a design. Even with all of these regulations, take a look at these Baofengs. Who in their right mind really wants to use a Baofeng that its second harmonic is only down 30 dBs? Even with those regulations, you still got crap coming in. But then you take a manufacturer here in the United States and says, look, I want to manufacture a radio. But when you look at all the regulations, you can't do it. That's the problem. And that's where I agree with the administration. And as far as it being political, everything is political. Life is political. Back to you. And I agree with the other station. You know, you go back 50, 60 years ago, 70 years ago, you go to New York, you had so many different manufacturers. As a kid growing up in the 60s, all you had to do was open up a QSD, and you had a zillion little labs, companies making different items. Today, you couldn't make these items because of the regulations.
Okay. I don't really think, though, if you just open things up and you deregulate it, you're not going to go back to the good old days. There aren't that many guys tinkering and building equipment and setting up a mom-and-pop companies. Amateur radio is not a place to become a multi-billionaire. You know, anyone with any kind of business sense There are a lot of other businesses that have a lot of more growth than that. So, again, I agree that there is a sweet spot between overregulating and underregulating. I tend to disagree that you didn't state it, but you insinuated that with the loosening of regulations, it'll be like it was in 1950. I don't think the world is 1950 anymore, and regulations aren't going to bring us back to 1950 for sundry reasons. But, again, I think there's a sweet spot in the middle. I think too much regulation is not a good thing, but no regulation, well, we've seen what that can do, too. So, yeah, that's China. I don't exactly know if they have any kind of regulations on many things that they actually follow through on. They might be in the books. But sometimes things in the books in China don't really translate to anything in reality in this world.
Comment from KUSOB?
Yes, comment away.
So a few things. This is coming from someone who's new in the hobby. I actually just got my technical license last weekend. But I bought probably 7 radios and put on these. This is my 7th radio. And all of the radios, they were all cheap radios, cheap Chinese radios that I purchased, but, you know, I did tons of research. I looked for, you know, the type accepted, you know, FCC certifications that these radios had. I even looked at YouTube videos from other people reviewing them. And when I got the radios in, they all had 30 minutes. They were all non-compliant either. They were less than 40 dB from the carrier, or they were more than 16 dBm overall. So a lot of these Chinese companies, they're juicing the radios that they send in for certification and then just, you know, selling bad ones to everybody else. And on top of that, going to the gentleman who was talking about, American-made, local-made, transceivers and devices, I know that one device, the True SDX by DL2MAN and PE1NNC, a little HF transceiver, which has been copied by, like, every Chinese company under the sun that makes radio transceivers and sold for, you know, half the price on eBay. So realistically, I mean, like the net controller would say, it's a tight spot because you do need these regulations, but how are American companies supposed to contend with it?
Well, I mean, you're bringing up a much bigger topic, which is the theft of intellectual property, which is China is infamous for. A lot of companies are leaving China because they basically had their intellectual property stolen, and other companies are pumping out copies of their equipment at a much lower price. So, I mean, that's another thing. And of course, there are bad players in this act where even if you do regulation, there's no guarantee that the equipment that was inspected and regulated is the same equipment that's going to be shipped over and sold in big box stores. There was a big whoop-de-doo a couple of years ago about things like Baofengs and other Chinese radios having their sales limited, that you couldn't just go into a box store without any kind of proof of a license and buy as many Baofengs as you wanted. And that seems to blow over because I haven't heard anyone complain or yell about it, but I don't think anyone did anything about it. So I agree with you that this is a big problem. I think primarily it's a Chinese one. I'm not familiar with any other Asian country that screws around with regulations as badly as they do. But the problem is that they could lowball everyone into the cheapest equipment possible. And in the end, especially with amateur radio operators, if there's one weak spot we all have, is we like to save a buck. So, you know, when you can buy a VNA for 80 bucks, you know, 10, 20 years ago, they cost something like $10,000 or $20,000. So, if it's cheap enough, everyone will close their eyes and just buy this stuff.
WB2HWW, do I have it?
Yes, Howard, you have it. Then after you, Wesley.
Okay, a couple of things. Number one, as far as China is concerned, you can't use China as a comparison. Everything that's made over there, the government involved, the government subsidizes it, and some of the people that are working there, unfortunately, is slave labor. And we can get into the politics of that. So if you go out, yes, and I'm guilty, if you buy a radio and you don't, you have to take into account, is there some slave out there doing this? That's serious. They work for the communist government. Regulations are not going to work, even if they have it on the books, because their government says, make the money. That's all it is. Let's gouge as much as we can, make as much as we can, and that's it. So, I agree. Cut some regulations, but get back to manufacturing in America. And when you say, can't happen again, if you go back to the 50s and the 60s, okay, to all these small manufacturers, they provided work for people. I mean, you could mention a million different other companies, like Ico, Courier, Clegg. I don't know how many people remember Ed Clegg in New Jersey. He made a lot of 2-meter AM gear. And he provided, these guys provided jobs for the local economy. But over the years, we shipped it all out. How about Drake? Came the 70s, we sent it to Japan, and then we sent it to China. If we want to survive as a middle-class society, you got to have good jobs. And we had decent jobs. People could go to a factory and build radios and make a living out of it, or make police radios. So, two things. I'm in favor of some of these tariffs. I'm in favor of some of this stuff, but I'm also in favor of getting the FCC to come up with sensible regulations that will make it profitable for people to manufacture stuff. Of course, we don't want to have no regulations. You don't want to have, you don't want to have someone making a spark gap generator and clogging up all the frequencies. Yeah, let me just finish up. That's all that I'm trying to say. I mean, as a kid growing up in the 60s and opening up the, my first radio was an Eichel 720, yeah? We're not going to go back to 6146s or 5Y3s, but yeah, somebody built that here in America. I remember buying, Drake equipment and Clegg equipment. Somebody bought that. It went to Harrison Radio. People have jobs. What can I tell you? I know it's all politics, but at the end of the day, let's get rid of some of these regulations and let's bring a lot of this back to the U.S. Because, if you keep giving away, the jobs and everything, and it is an emergency, they can cut us off. So I'd rather see Americans make the money.
Okay, Howard. Yeah? Yes, what do you have for us? Yeah, fine, but raise your the amplitude on your microphone. I can barely hear you.
Okay, thank you. I hope you can hear this better now. But anyway, we have a company called MSG. And apparently nobody wants to take over the company, and we're losing a number of brand names as a result. Do you have any comments about that situation? Over.
Well, I don't know if you want me to comment or you want Howard to comment, but since I'm in that control, I'll put my two cents in. You don't get to be a billionaire by investing in amateur radio companies. It's usually guys who were amateurs, who are amateurs, and it's a business that they're in love with. They kind of do it partially for the love. manufacturing is not a big thing that it was. Back in the 50s and the 60s, it was the post-war era. Everyone else's factories were blown up and burned down, and we were the manufacturers for the world, and that was the golden age. But, Howard, I don't think you can go back in time. You can't go home again. You have to understand that other countries have much cheaper labor, much more efficient modes of operation than a lot of American companies have. If you take a look at the relative price of a Collins or a Drake and increase it for inflation costs, most hams would not look at it for a second, except for a couple of the flashy ones who want to show off, you know, like guys who kind of buy the most expensive ICOM that they sell. Most guys are looking for those inexpensive Chinese radios. So what are you going to do? You're going to make it illegal to buy foreign, or are you going to put tariffs, and then they'll put tariffs on us? And, you know, the last time we had a big tariff was the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act, you know, right before the Depression. So, you know, tariffs are weapons as much as anything else. So I don't know. I mean, I really don't have your optimism that if you just kind of deregulate the FCC, all of a sudden 10,000 radio businesses will pop up open. I think we live in different ages, unfortunately, and you can't go home. You can't go back.
DDH with a comment.
Yes, John.
Yeah, quite a few of the things that are happening is that a lot of amateur radio manufacturing is just not that profitable. A case in point that comes to mind right away is the company JRC, Japan Radio Company. They are a very well-established provider of marine radio communications equipment, and they were in the amateur radio market. They made a number of amateur radio receivers, transmitters. The NRD 515, 525, NRD 545 receiver. However, in the last, I think it was about 3 or 4, maybe 5 years ago, they had to get out of the amateur radio business. It just wasn't profitable for them, and it's a shame because their equipment was very high quality. But as I say, their main line of business is marine communications, and they've been in that for years and years.
KC2GS. Well, I mean, if you take a look, most of the companies that have survived the long haul are not solely amateur radio related. The only ones that are these mom-and-pop places, you know, like if you know PALSTAR. It seems to be a real small company. The guy who designs it is also the president. The vice president is his wife. They hired a few other people to assemble parts and such, and that keeps going on. But, I mean, for most of these businesses like Flex Radio and other places I'm aware of, they don't live and die by amateur radio operators. They live and die by other places. Flex Radio has a lot of government contracts. Others have business contracts. Others have military contracts. And that's where the money is. So, I mean, unfortunately, you know, although I've mentioned it before, I'll mention it again, the FCC on record has more than 750,000 licensed amateur radio operators. I think the overwhelming majority of those guys have tech licenses, and the only radios they probably have are those Chinese Baofengs. So, unfortunately, this is not AI. You want to get into an AI business, you could probably still find some venture capitalists who will get $1 million no matter what you explain to them. But you go to a venture capitalist and say, I want to build amateur radios, they'll say, what? And, I wish it was different. I wish it was a different reality, but I don't perceive it as a different reality. I perceive it as the way it seems to be.
That's a good point.
Yes, Jim?
All good points, all worth considering. Count this into the equation. Considering the situation as an amateur radio problem, I mean, we're on amateur radio. That's obviously our focus. But really, I think the big picture on this situation as far as citizens, civilians, taxpayers, whatever you want to call them, we share a microphone button with a lot of other services. I mentioned a few. There's others that go into Meshtastic, and there's a number of different ways that we as individual citizens transmit on radios. And I think in this moment, our commonality and our likenesses are more important than our differences. I don't think we're dealing with an amateur radio topic. We're dealing with a civilian PTT button of all sorts thing, and we should consider it all. It's a bigger picture. And I think you've got opportunities for good stuff and opportunities to foul it all up, no doubt. There's both. Back to net.
Comment?
Yes, Wesley, you want to comment?
Yeah. So, it is not enforcement what was said, but who said what. That means that FEC has signed DVDVDV because somebody higher than FEC made a decision. So if you were pushed to use other wording, then I don't know. The most important of everything that was said today for our Shams is that somebody who is recognized like you would voice yourself answering the question. Is it any chance at your best belief that at some point, if we have 100%, at any percentage, the ham radio operators would be heard? Intuition.
Well, I mean, theoretically, we're all citizens. We all have a theoretical voice. You two can write to the FCC and reply to their docket. You can kind of go through the ARRL if you're so inclined. Again, you got a whole day and a half. So we all have that. And just to touch base on what Jim said, I agree with you fundamentally. All this stuff is incredibly bigger than just us half. But, you know, this is not a everyone repeater. This is amateur radio repeater. So we're kind of focusing on the little teeny tiny spot that is ourselves. Because in the end, we're all kind of more interested in ourselves than everything else. But I agree with you. There's a much bigger, enormous picture out there. We're just looking at a teeny tiny sliver of it.
So what do you think? Nobody's going to hurt us. There's no chance for it.
Yeah, I think Howard wanted to say something.
Yeah, but right now we've got interference. Somebody's teeing up. Can you hear me?
Someone's very unhappy out there, and he's taking it out on us. So, Howard, you should be clear now.
Well, okay, bottom line is this. Station, don't make me turn on my VHF remote base with a kilowatt. I'll get over you in 5 seconds. So put your radio down. Okay, bottom line is this. Drake and all these other companies did not make all their money from amateur radio. If you ever look on their advertisement, they said amateur net. Collins got into trouble because they had to stop selling their equipment at a discount to amateurs. The military said, you can't give these people a better price than us. So Collins stopped that. So a lot of these manufacturers had both. Second thing is this. We're not the only people in the barrel. I actually think the FCC should loosen up the regulations for CB and say, okay, we'll make it 25 watts, we'll make it 50 watts, and we'll let people come out with better equipment and let them make it in the U.S. And also, you know, you got so many, you got a lot more CBs than we do hams. So, yeah, we have to find other ways to make equipment and for other purposes. All I am saying is bring back the manufacturing. And guess what? China's going to be in a big problem because in the next 5 to 10 years, you won't need people to build equipment. It'll be done by robotics. We'll get to a point where we can manufacture a radio for the same price as China because we'll come up with AI. At some point, everything that a human being physically can be done, so can a robot do in a manufacturing plant. That's all I have to say. WD2HW.
Okay, then I ask you the million-dollar question. Who's going to buy anyone's products if they're all unemployed because everything's run by robots and AI devices?
November 2, Zulu Charlie.
Yeah, John.
Yeah, right. Good evening. Good evening to the net. You know, I just want to throw this in there. Just in the big picture, not getting political, but Trump is the president. I get the feeling sometimes that he's actually trying to replace maybe income tax with consumer tax via tariffs. You know, from all the talk, get rid of tax on tips, get rid of tax on overtime, get rid of tax on Social Security. You know, I don't know. I don't know. But sometimes it really sounds like that to me. And also, bringing up what you said, Roy, as far as, you know, who's going to buy the equipment if nobody has jobs, I also wonder if these tariffs and bringing the back to manufacturing is a last-ditch effort to bring back the jobs because of exactly that. They see the AI is coming, and jobs are going to be very, very scarce, may cause a lot of internal disruptions in societies all around the globe. Just you know, some thoughts that will pop across my mind when I, you know, hear all of this stuff.
Okay, we got quadrupling going on, and plus the guy who's unhappy in the background. You want to call out your call signs, and I'll grab the first one I hear.
82FIU Portable.
Okay, George.
You said you cannot replace income tax with tariffs. If you do, then only the low class and the middle class will be paying for government because the ultra rich will have no control on their income.
I agree with you. It's a regressive tax. It doesn't work. Tariffs have never worked. They're instruments of international warfare. You fight other companies economically with tariffs. You don't get taxes from people outside the United States. The tariffs that are collected end up being paid by the citizens of the country that have the tariff, and also it induces the other side to do the same thing with tariffs. So the intention might be to make a tariff-driven economy, but it's inherently a flawed concept. There hasn't been a single country that was able to pull it out, and as I mentioned before, the last really big tariff act was Smoot-Hawley, right before the Depression.
KD2FIU, Roy, you still there?
Yes, I'm still there.
Okay, and what happens is you remove the mechanism for the ultra-rich to pay for the country, to pay for anything that we need in the country. Because if you remove taxes, only the lower and middle class will be paying for what's going on because there is no mechanism to control the ultra-rich income.
Yeah, again, I agree with you, and there are more than a few people out there that suggest that this is a method to basically do away with the middle class. You'll have a small number of people who have everything, and everyone else will be a wage slave and barely make minimum, and the rich guys will have islands in Hawaii and such, and you decide on your own economic theory. I'm just mentioning that historically, and I do have a minor in economics, tariffs don't really run countries. They can run economic war, but they can't run countries, and they're very dangerous weapons to handle. They might get out of people's control, so very few people like to kind of, you know, dilly-dally with them and to turn them on one day, turn them off another day. That's like waving a nuclear bomb and saying, I will, I won't, I will, I won't. You know, it doesn't really end up with any stable, useful purpose of giving everyone migraines.
Question.
Comment.
B2FI, you clear. Thank you, Roy.
You're welcome, George, and once again, I'm happy to say I agree entirely with your fundamental understanding of what tariffs do to people. Unfortunately, that was another case of people tripling and quadrupling, so I will unkey, and the first person that I hear is next.
WS21.
CBH Mobile.
Okay. I heard Paul first, so Paul goes first.
Okay, in regard to the tariffs, that would never be able to pay for the amount of money that normally comes in with income taxes. You would have, forget about 25%, I don't know, you'd probably have to have 250% or 500% tax tariff to get anywhere close to the amount of income that's needed from the government. Anyway, back to you, Roy. WS2N.
PhD.
Oh. Yeah, Jim?
I promise you I'm not trolling. I don't know the answer to the question. I'm throwing it out there. Hopefully I don't cause a bomb. Is the move to get rid of income tax, or is the move to get rid of payroll tax? Totally different things. And I honestly don't know what the answer is, but it's worth considering. Back to you, Roy.
My suspicions are income tax. I think the populist stuff to throw out to the population is your salary taxes, but there's enough of billionaires in places of power that I'm sure they're going to ask. Well, they're already. I mean, one of it is they want to extend that massive $3 trillion tax bill. So what they're really doing fundamentally is you know, investment taxes. They may throw people a bone with salaries, but they won't be able to because, you know, as George mentioned, and as Paul mentioned, it's not feasible. We've been studying economics for hundreds of years, and it doesn't work, and anyone who tried to do it had it blow up in their faces, and, you know, we're no different than the rest, So it's an inherently flawed idea based on a misconception of what tariffs fundamentally are. You can talk to anyone who teaches economics almost anywhere who doesn't have kind of brain damage, and they'll sort of tell you that at the very best, it's a temporary measure and a limited weapon. But to kind of run a whole country like the United States on the basis of tariffs is a real... It would be a miracle.
WB2TH
Mobile comment.
Yeah, Howard recognized, but you know, I we haven't really given the poor mobile much time. So let's go with the mobile guy, and then next will be you, Howard.
Okay, a couple of things. The taxes want to be. The Trump tax deal, the Trump tax law bill, they want to eliminate taxes on Social Security, want to eliminate taxes on tips, and they want to eliminate taxes on overtime. Everybody knows that you can't run with this. There's no desire to go back to tariffs. Number two, tariffs are there because other countries are playing games with their financial, they're playing games with their money and, you know, and devaluing their currency. For instance,
since Canada has a 100% tax tariff on what do you call it, dairy products from the U.S., many countries protect their core industries with tariffs. The tariffs the administration wants to impose are targeted tariffs to bring about an equal playing field.
Well, I really don't want to get into politics. My understanding of the Canadian 100% tariff is it's not an all or nothing. It has a trigger point. So it accepts a certain amount, and then if the amount is so it triggers the 100% tariff. But again, I don't want to kind of fall into either politics or, God forbid, economics. Talk about a dismal science.
Talk about Spoon-Hawley. Spoon-Hawley was passed after the Great after the 1929 stock crash, and that did do bad things. I admit that. The other thing is, wealthy people in the billionaire class, they're investors. They don't get much of a salary, and they escape most of. There's very little wealth tax, so that's what they get in. That's how they get over. And as far as bringing manufacturing for amateur radio back to the United States, you can't do it profitably anymore. It you have to do it on an industrial scale, and it's just never going to happen. I mean, it's like you say, most of the places that do have produce amateur radio also have government contracts. And thank you very much.
You're welcome. Howard, you wanted to say talk now?
Yes, I think I got it. Yeah, two things. Most countries in Europe, like Greece and other countries, have a VAT tax. That's what Trump is upset about, the value-added tax. And when I lived in Greece for a while, back in the 90s, I had a girlfriend who was Greek, and we stayed in Greece. And I remember I needed a capacitor for a radio, for an AM radio with a CD player. It was humming. And I said, let's just increase the capacitor. It's running on 50 cycles. I figured, all right, I'll pay $4 or $5 for 1,000, 5,000, like whatever the capacitor was. It was $18 at the local electronics store. So they had a value added tax. And I said, wow, this is crazy. So I remember trying to buy a boom box for her daughter, and it was You know, one unit would cost back then maybe $90, $100. You walk into a general store, like that would be like a Walmart there, and you were paying $250 to $300. So, and the reason why they did not have been honest, so they said, okay, we'll charge you at the point of sale. So a lot of countries have something called a value-added tax. So not all countries have an income tax. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm well aware. I have a relative number of business with the U.K. If you buy from someone in the U.K., you do not pay the value-added tax. The value-added tax is only applied to people in the country. If you are buying it elsewhere, if they do have tariffs, then, of course, you have to, or duties, whatever you want to call it, you have to pay the duties of the tariffs. You don't pay that. I've never paid value-added tax for anything that I got sent to me from the United Kingdom. So, and it's up to the individual country and city and state. New York City decided that they wanted a sales tax. A lot of cities and states have sales tax, or some don't, and it's one of many ways to extract money from citizens. I don't know if Donald Trump is upset about value-added taxes in-country, because that doesn't make much sense. And again, it's not exported. A value-added tax is like a sales tax for the citizens in the country. They do not export the value-added taxes. It just doesn't happen, at least, you know, legitimately.
KD2FYU Portable.
Yes, George?
If you eliminate income tax, you will be eliminating any way of controlling what the ultra-rich can contribute to this country. That would be the only mechanism available in place. If there was no income tax, they roll forward with nothing controlling them.
Once again, George, we are in complete agreement. It is a regressive tax. It is known to be a regressive tax, and it will continue to be a regressive tax. I don't think that that's a bug. I think that's a feature with some people. Howie, I heard you kind of link in, so I assume you want